So we put the bubbly in.
So it's Daf Lamed Tet. Indeed, we are a bit late today. But let's begin with
the Heilige Mishnah.
Continuing on now with our question of what things get the din of the tchum of he who owns them. Hagachelet keraglei habaalim. So now we've been talking about animals, and we've been talking about kelim, and here we get to the question, somebody has a fire. So a fire consists of two parts. It consists of the fuel, if you have coal or wood that you're burning, and then you have the actual flame. So here we separate the two. The gachelet is keraglei habaalim. So to move outside of the tchum of the baalim, some of the coals that you borrow from everyone who uses coals, that's also. But if you light a fire, the shalhevet, you light a fire from someone else's shalhevet, that shalhevet is not a problem because it's not considered to be something of mamashut. It's not something that's a identifiable physical item. It's just a expression of the energy of whatever you're burning, and therefore it doesn't get a tchum. And therefore, you can take it anywhere you want, even though you originally lit your lamp from someone else's fire. Gachelet shel hegdesh, a further difference, once we're on the topic of the difference between the fuel and the actual energy release, is that the gachelet, if it belongs to hegdesh, then you would be mo'el on that gachelet. So let's say you take some of the heat of the gachelet, use the gachelet to cook with, and so on. That's considered to be a chiyav of me'ila, if you take it, or your nene from it, and you'd have to be mo'el. You'd have to bring a korban asham, you'd have to pay, and so on. But a shalhevet, somebody who takes a light from hegdesh, so even though l'chatchila lo nenim, that we say is an gzeir d'rabbanan, we'll see later on, but if you went ahead and you did, there is no chiyav of a korban, lo mo'alim, because again, there's nothing that is real in terms of the physical dimensions there, and therefore we don't view it as being an item. Another difference is, and if you take out a coal into Rishus HaRabim, so you would be a chayiv, because again, it's an item that you're taking out, and it's like anything else for Hotza'ah. But if you take out a shalhevet, of course, so strange, how do you take out a shalhevet without... So that we'll see. But if you take out a shalhevet, then you would be pot. Turn around. The bright expands on this. Here we've had three differences between a gachelet and a shalhevet. The bright lists five differences. Chamisha devarim nemru begachelet. There are five things that are said about a gachelet that distinguishes it from a shalhevet. So a gachelet kiraglei habaalim v'shalhevet b'chol makom. As our Mishnah has said, Gachelet has a tchum, and its tchum is the same tchum as its owner. The shalhevet does not have a tchum, and it can be moved to wherever. Gachelet shel hegdesh mo'alimba, as our Mishnah says, because yesh bo mamashut, but the shalhevet lo ne'anin mid'rabbanan, but lo mo'alin, if you went ahead and used it, there's no chiyav of me'ila. Gachelet shel avodah zarah asura, v'shalhevet muteret. A further difference, one not mentioned in our Mishnah, is that if you have a gachelet that was used for takrovet avodah zarah and so on, so then it becomes also like anything else. But the shalhevet is not a problem. The shalhevet you can light, even though it's a shalhevet that is burning in a church in front of an avodah zarah and so on. There's no isser in the actual shalhevet. The Gemara is going to ask, why is this different than hegdesh? That's why when it comes to the chumra of hegdesh, we're geyser. When it comes to the chumra of avodah zarah, we're not geyser. Okay, but this we'll see. So here it's muteret even l'chatchila. By hegdesh, it's not muteret l'chatchila. Hamotzi gachelet rishut rabim, as we saw again in the Mishnah, chayev, but hamotzi shalhevet, this is pot. The fifth item that we hadn't mentioned, the extra item that wasn't mentioned before, is this. Hamudar hana'amich aveiro. Somebody who asked himself to be nene, who was asked by, either way, to be nene from a friend, so he cannot use that friend's gachelet, because the gachelet has mamashes. But mutar b'shalavto. There's no problem in using the friend's shalhevet, Because again, it's not a mamashut. Ask the Gemara now, in this list, there's one conspicuous inconsistency, and that is Avodah Zarah and Hekdesh. Usually, so many dinim, Avodah Zarah and Hekdesh are mirror images. So in terms of the Avodahs that are usher for Avodah Zarah, are the Avodahs that are the universal Avodahs that are usher, besides obviously the particular Derech Avodasa, the universal Avodahs that are usher to all Avodah Zarah are the Avodahs that you would use in the Beis HaMikdash. And we often call the dinim of learning chutz mipnim in terms of deciding what would be considered to be a suitable aveda for an aveda zara lahavdil from the aveda shemayim, and that defines the halachas. So, to someone who's sensitive to the relationship between the two, it immediately jumps out at you that you have over here two opposite sources of iser, one because of its kedusha, one because of its tumah. And yet, for some reason, when it comes to the Kiddusha, we're not grazing. You know, both of them are very chomer. Avodah Zarah is the most chomer, and Hekdesh is the most chomer. So why is it that they don't mirror this element of the Gezeir Drabonah? So ask the Gemara, Maishna, Shalevet Avodah Zarah, the Sharia, even the Chatchila, Maishna, the Hekdesh, which is Asira Midrabonah. That's just the Gemara. Avodah Zarah, the Mi'isa. Avodah Zarah is disgusting to people. And therefore, Bedila Inchim, you know, people, what are you saying? Somebody's going to go up and light a cigarette from the Shalhevitz, and he'll go and take the Gachach. Who's going to go to a church or somebody in front of an Avedis? The Rabbanon aren't going to be gazer in something that people are not going to come really to use. Hagdish is not mois, it's not disgusting. So therefore, lo Bedila Inchim, even though, as Tosis points out, certainly Legabe Chul and Hagdish, it's called Bedila Inchim. But in terms, you're saying that it should mirror Avodah Zarah. To mirror Avodah Zarah would have to have the same level of the possibility that people would be shayach to be nichshal. It's not most, that's the pshat. So the level of disgust that people don't have a natural reaction to be badil from. Memela, we over there, we have to be gezer. So gezer be'rabonim, because if in fact you'll allow people, lechatchila, to go and use the shalhevis. So then, once it's hetter in their mind, it could extend too far. Now there we have to be geyser. Hamotzika chelat v'shut rabim chayev v'shalhevet patur. Our Mishnah says that there's no problem. There's no problem, but that you're certainly not chayev for being motzi v'shalhevet. And yet, v'tanya, we have a brayta that says beferish not like that. Then hamotzi shalhevet kol shehu chayav. But Adarab, you are chayev even for taking out any small amount of flame. How do you explain that? Amr of Sheshet Kagon Shotzio Bikisek. There it's talking about that he took it out with something. So he's carrying, let's say, a little tiny piece of wood on which the flame now is burning. So over there, it's considered to be something that has more mamashut, because I could see the source of energy from which it's taking the shalhevet. Over there, it's choshev. Mashenkin, our Mishnah that talks about it's being potter, is talking about, as we'll see later on, a case where you were only motzi, a ball of energy. There was nothing actual, physical that we could see that it was attached to. So therefore, there doesn't have the chashivut, here it does have the chashivut. That's Rav Sheshet's approach. Says the Gemara, typically Mishum Kisim, so then it doesn't have anything to do with the Shalhevet now, does it? I mean, so then you'd be chayev for removing the actual piece of wood? No, you won't be chayev for taking out the actual piece of wood, says the Gemara, because it may be talking about the Dalet Le Shiura, that the wood itself doesn't have a large enough shiur to be chayev in terms of the wood. It's not. Amotzi etzim kidei levashel betza kala. The shear of the wood would require sufficient energy to boil up an egg. So, that you don't have. But here we're not looking to the problem of the energy content. We're looking to the problem of the chashivut of the actual flame. So if you have a flame that doesn't have any attached fuel, so then enoch inami. It's not considered to be choshev enough, to be chayev on hotza'ah. But if you're talking about a flame with an attached fuel. So then the flame is more kosher. Tosus points out that, generally speaking, we would have a halacha that if there's an essential thing, in this case the flame, whatever it is that you're taking with it is always bottled to that essential thing. So if the essential thing isn't chayiv, so how would I think that you'd be chayiv on the thing that's only servicing the essential thing? For instance, let's say somebody carries out another person. So he's not chayiv because of chayno siyatatzmo. So suppose he'll carry out that person in a bed. He won't be chayiv on the bed either. So over here, if you're telling me you're not chayiv in the shalhevet, so if you're carrying out a bed for the shalhevet, so to speak, which is the kisim, so I shouldn't be chayiv in the kisim anyway. What's the nafkamina? How large it is? Why does the Gemara have to come onto the shear issue? Right? So Tosfos explains that over here, you can't say that there's the chashivut and the shalhevet will be mevatel the kli, because the only reason that we're viewing a shalhevet as significant in terms of what's so is because of the kli. So that does make sense to say that in that case now, the kli will be bottled to the thing that doesn't have mamashut. It's contradictory. That's what's making the thing that doesn't have mamashut choshev. Okay, I think that's the, I mean, Tosfos doesn't say it in quite those terms, but I think that's the underlying logic of what he's saying. So this is Reb Sheshet's approach. Abaya says, Kigon deshaifei monamashra v'yatli beinura. It's talking about that what you did is you used some type of flammable liquid, which was absorbed now into the material of a container. We'll see later on it's talking about a highly absorbent thing like earthenware, mocheres. And then you lit it, which often, you know, they do for shtick, it chasnas, it's on a lighter hat, whatever. So that's what it's talking about. It took some lighter fluid, you lit it. So in this case, it has a chashivut. So then we take lemishumana. So again, we have the same problem. So then, but whatever it is that you put the lighter fluid into, that itself should be kosher. So a hat, certainly those kind of hats are not roi for wearing, right? So what? Why wouldn't you be chayav on that? No, but chaspa. It's not talking about you used a real kli, you used a broken piece of a kli. So you had a little bit of a broken earthenware. It's not choshev as a kli. So here it becomes chayav, not because of that, but because of the shalhevet that it's servicing in holding the fuel. So it's typically mishum chaspa. Okay, there's still, there's certainly usages for chaspa. True, but bitalet leishiyura. It's talking about where there is not a significant shear in the chaspa. What is that shear? It's not cheres, broken pottery. Kedelitain bein patsim lechaverot. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The shear over there would be sufficient to use to maintain distance between either, there's different ways that Rashi is mefarish this in different places, either between if you have a pile of boards, and there's places where some of the boards are a little bit bent out of shape. In order to prevent further warping, you put pieces between the boards that are set in such a way that the next board will be flat. So what you would use is you would use broken pottery shards to put between the boards. The shear that would be sufficient for such a thing is significant enough for Gaviot Sar for Shabbos. Here we're talking about that it's not significant even to be used as a shard to place between boards. In other places, Rashi says these are shards that are used to even out the wood of a frame around a window. In other places, he says it's the type of thing that's used, they would set something like triseum, where you know, the type of triseum that remain half open, light shines in through different levels. So they would use it to put between pieces that were in a window, so it provides partial shading and partial sunlight. But whatever the shear is, I mean, here we're not coming obviously to deal with what that shear is. I'm just explaining what the meaning was for patsimim. So you don't have that shear. So then I don't understand. So then how is it? If you're telling me that if there's anything at all that holds the fuel, so then you'd be chayiv, because then the shalhevis is considered to be choshev. Well, can you explain to me how the heck you get a shalhevis somewhere where there is nothing holding the fuel? I mean, well, how does that work exactly? So then elohad etzana, mati shalhevis patura, echemesh kahasla. So how is it physically possible to simply take out a shalhevet without taking out fuel. I mean, if it has no fuel, it'll simply disappear in a moment, right? Says the Gemara, true, but to go into Adya, do other shits around him. In other words, let's say you have a large shalheves that is burning whatever was left of, the gas that you gave it, the lighter fluid that you gave it. So like one of these flame breathers, you can blow a flame out and so on. There's nothing left of the fuel, at least that's visible as a separate thing. So it's talking about that momentarily, that type of thing. You take it out from Rishas HaYachad to Rishas HaRabim, you're potter. It doesn't have any chashivut because of the fact that it's purely an expression of energy and indeed is not tied to anything else. So it's not called having any kind of mamashut.
The Heilige Mishnah.
Bor shel Yachid. Moving on now to other things where this time what we're interested in is where you have contents similar to fire, but moving on to water, where the water itself is constantly in motion anyway. So there's, you have a well, or there's a stream that passes through your rishon, so that type of thing, versus a cistern. What exactly would be the din? So, bor shel yachid, karagle yachid, and we're going to see that in the end we're talking about cisterns as opposed to actual wells where the water continuously is exchanged, or certainly springs that are moving on. But we'll talk about that immediately in the Gemara. So you have now water that belongs to an individual. Then the water there is like everything else he owns. We already know about water from the case of the woman who borrowed water to make the dough. So water is kiragle yachid. Suppose you have a public cistern, so shalan shei ha'otair, kiragle anshei ha'otair. If you have water that is public, then, now here there's a big mouth locus we're showing it. Rashi learns kiragle anshei ha'otair means like the given tchum of people in that city, which would mean the standard tchum, in other words, 2,000 amot from the wall of the city, whatever the ibura ir would be. So the fact that a particular individual made an eruv, let's say, to one side or the other, doesn't have any impact on the water, because the water is a joint standard tchum. So at the Knesset, I mean, unless obviously you took it out before Shabbat, and then you brought it, became yours. But otherwise, it has now the tchum of the city itself. Other Rishonim disagree, that's Rashi, other Rishonim disagree with Rashi, like the Rajava, and say that in this case we would rely on a Brera. Brera, in other words, Kiragle Anshei Ha'Ta'ir means that it's open for the post facto definition of whoever takes it, and now we view it retroactively as having been meant for that individual, and if that individual's Makom Shvita was, let's say, 2,000 amot to the north, so then the water that he takes, he's allowed to take with him past the other people's tchum, if that's where he has his eruv. V'shalolei bavel, those things that are not public, meaning municipal supplies, but are rather what we call olei bavel. Olei bavel means things that were made by Beit Din. We use this as a general category. Things that were made by Beit Din for universal access, so that, let's say, you have something on a highway where people, that's why it was called Kiragle Bavel, because there was a responsibility on Beit Din in which they formed stopping places, camping places, for people who were coming up to the Beit HaMikdash, and provided cisterns there so that there would be water for anybody who would come. So that's open to anybody. I mean, that's not a municipal issue. There's no particular tchum that would be chal over there. So over there, it's kiragle ha-mimale. Let's assume for a moment that we're viewing this as hefker. And therefore, if you pick it up now, so you're kind of at the moment that you pick it up. So at this point, if you don't hold of Rabbi Yochanan, we saw Rabbi Yochanan and Shita earlier, was that even hefker is kena makom shvita where it is, right? Fine. But let's say that we don't hold a Rabbi Yochanan. So therefore, this water did not koner shvita, if we're assuming that it's hefker. We'll see that there's other analyses in the Gemara of how this may work, other than is it directly an issue of hefker. So if that would be the case, somebody who picks it up now, whatever his tchum is, it's his tchum. If he now hands it to somebody else, and that person had an eruv in another direction, too bad. Because you can't now go ahead and say, well, I'll use it the way I want to use it, because the person who picked it up was already defined it as the Mamale, that has defined it as his tchum. So, okay, the question now is, why don't we say that it's a breresh? If it's wherever it ends up becoming, then that's the place where it would be kaya. So, apparently, what we're saying over here is adarav. We are saying that there is a brera. See, we have mamanusha. We have a problem. If you hold not like Rabbi Yochanan, then this mortar has no place at all, right? Because it wasn't kaina tchum on Erev Shabbos or on Erev Yontif. So if it wasn't kaina tchum, so then it doesn't have a tchum. Once you say it's karagle abimale, so basically now you're saying it's karagle the one for whom it was meant. But that's brera. So you're saying that now, the moment that Shabbos was chal by the Knisav Yontef for Shabbos, that was where it was created to Makam Shvita, according to where it was that the person who picked it up, wherever his Makam Shvita is. I mean, so if that's the case, you could also say that if that person picks it up and gives it to somebody else, so the end result is, I mean, if what we're doing is predicting the future and using it retroactively, I mean, that's where Breyer works. So then the final destination should be that which defines the place in which was kind of Shmita. I mean, why Dafka, the person who went ahead and took it in the beginning? And if he took it for somebody else, I mean, what's the difference? So what that means is that we hold a Breira, but we only hold a Breira L'chumra, not L'kula. So in other words, to define this as having a particular place so that the person who removes it is now the person that it was meant for, that will say. But to say that you can go ahead and forever, anybody that it comes for, that it becomes his, that we won't say. So we give it a chumra that it has a tchum. Which tchum? The person who takes it out of the bar. His tchum. Why arbitrarily his tchum? Because that's how we're viewing it. The water is meant for the person who draws it. It's okay, so we're going to be machmer. In other words, either we're going to say there's no tchum, and anybody can use it, or we're going to say there is a tchum. What will define that tchum? Brera l'chumra. That's a chumra that there should be a tchum. But once we use brera to define the tchum, then that's the tchum.
So is this the same as what we had in the sheet earlier, that holding the tchum, because it's the rabbanan holding brera for
rabbanan? Yes, absolutely. Except that over here we're being machmer.
Yeah. But that's
right, but it's not like the man yomra holds we could be semech on any brera. That we'll see in the sugya that's coming. Rami le rava le rav Nachman. So rava asks rav Nachman, now assuming that when it says over here, Borsha Yachid, it means even an actual well. So how do you explain the fact that in the Mishnah it says, it's not Borsha Yachid Kraglea Yachid, and yet, Vraminu, I can show you actually, from back in Erevin, exactly the opposite. There it says, Ne'arot HaMoshchim, if you have now a stream that's flowing, or Ma'ayanot HaNovim, or you have a well, which now continues to bubble up, so which means that there's always an exchange of water. Harehin kiraglei kol adam, they have no tchum at all by definition. That has nothing to do with who owns them. It has nothing to do with who was the one who was mamale from them. It doesn't matter where they are, and so on and so forth. Because anything, we saw in Erevin, anything that is in constant motion is not kona shvita. The point of shvita is that you're, so to speak, at rest. That's what shavet means. Anything in motion can't be kona shvita. So therefore, the Mishnah that says that it has a din of karagle yoke doesn't make sense at all. It doesn't have karagle anybody. Because it's not shayach to being kona makom shvita. Now, obviously, the Mishnah that we have here is not discussing water in motion. It's discussing water that is in cisterns. And that's the only way to understand it. Vitmanami, I mean, it's not my Kiddush. Omre Priya Barav and Omre Shmuel, Bimuchunasim. Our mission is limited to discussion of Tchumim, of standing water in cisterns. Vishalole Bavel, Kiragle Hamimale. Now the next thing that the Mishnah says is that we have three levels. We have a Borshal Yachid, which is a standard, something that is owned by an individual. We have a municipal bor, And then we have that has a din of the tchum of the municipality. Then we have a din, a separate halacha, of Olei Bavel, where, as Rashi understands it, by the way, there are other approaches, but as Rashi understands it, we're going to say Brera Lachumra, and it becomes Keraglei Amimalei, and even though you picked it out of there and give it to somebody else, you're the one who defines it. The one who actually took the water out of the cistern. So itzma. Mila v'natan l'chaveiro. Question is, a guy fills up the water from the cistern, hands it over to somebody else. So nachman amar kiraglei mi shenitmal ulav. Rip sheshes amar kiraglei hamimalei. Now over here, the point was that I never filled it for myself at all. Somebody asks me to go and fill it for him. So the question is, how do I view the relationship of Kiraglei Amimale? I never had any intention of being the one to keep it for myself. I went there, put in the bucket, took it out, and handed it to the other guy. Do we say even in that case that it's just, that's how it's defined, Kiraglei Amimale, despite the fact I didn't do it for myself? Or can I act on behalf of another person, and my intent is to be mamalei it from him, so I just become an instrument of his milui, and then it's his. We're certainly not going to discuss over here a question that's against the Mishnah. The Mishnah says if I first did it for myself, that's it. I define its tchum. I mean, they're not coming to Itamar, Reb Nachman, and Reb Sheshes to argue about whether the Mishnah is right. They're all agreeing. The Mishnah, once you take it for yourself, then you define it. What are they discussing? Well, you didn't take it for yourself. Where your initial milui was for somebody else. So Reb Nachman says, look, if it's for somebody else, then that's whose tchum it gets. It's that first step, meaning for the person that first takes it. Reb Sheshes says, no, it's defined by the actual raglei amimalei, the person who does the actual lifting the water out of the cistern. That's strange, but micromithligan. What exactly are they arguing about? Marsava bira dehefkero. One man the armor holds that a bor, how does it work, this din of Olei Bavel? Olei Bavel works by allowing the water to remain hefker. Now the din is that when you have hefker, and somebody now lifts up something from hefker in order for somebody else to be zoche in it. Now halacha is that when you do that, the person is in zoche. Why? Because we have a klal that you cannot make a kinyan for someone when you are being chav somebody else to the detriment of another person. You can act for one's benefit when it's not deficit to another person, but you can't go ahead and create kinyonim for one person where it is going to be chav for others. And the moment that you're quoting something from hefker, that means that nobody else can now exercise their rights to the hefker. So they're exactly. So by definition, it doesn't help you now to be mechay of other people in order to give this person his water, right? The way that works is that basically, let's say somebody owes, let's say A owes B money, okay, and I'm a friend of B. Problem is that A not only owes B money, he owes about 400 other people money. Now I'm in a position where I can grab something that belongs to A for B, my dear friend. I can't, because that will mean that all the other hundreds of people that he owes cannot now go and exercise their liens against that money. So in this case, exactly the same. This is my focus. But there's this money, Omar. He's saying that if somebody goes ahead now, and he would be Kena, so this is the way we paskin stam in Bab Metzia, that the din is you're not Kena. So according now, if you hold that it's Hefker, so then it doesn't help to pick it up. So Reb Sheshes says, so and what's the point now of the other guy? The other guy is meaningless. If you were kainet, you're kainet for yourself. You're kainet for yourself. Then that's the Mishnah. And it's karaglei amimale. Even if somebody sends you to go ahead and to do it for him, it's the same thing as magbiya mitzia l'chaveri. So if that's the case, then the bor of the galut of the Bnei Bavel is the same thing. Whereas Marsava, Bira de Shutvihu, Mashain Kain, Reb Nachman says, the Bnei HaGola, so this is now basically all those who are going to be using the highway coming up to Eretz Yisrael. They weren't mafkir. Basically what they said was, we make everyone a shutaf. So we look at it as a partnership, but certainly not as a hefkerut. So if therefore I ask somebody to take my portion from me, I have a right to my portion. So if he's memale for me and he's being mezakami, he's like a shliach, so then it was mine, it would be according to my rega. And that's the machlokes. Eisvei Rava l'Rav Nachman. So Rava now, according to this analysis, Rav Nachman holds that Keraglei Mishim Nitmal Ulo would be saying that there's no hefkerir, but there is a shutafut. Asks Rava, it says like this. If somebody says, Harini Alecha Cheren, I am a cherem against you. Okay, which would mean hamudar asur. That means that the object over here is to asur the person that you're making yourself a cherem against. So now the mudar, that is to say the object of the neder, becomes asur, but the one who made the neder hasn't created any zirum on himself. Whereas if you say, arei ata alai cherem, you are cherem to me, so then it's the one who made the neder, the noder, who is asur. If he phrases that by saying, Hareini alecha v'ata alai, then of course, shneim asurim zeh bezeh, both people are asur. Nonetheless, even though they're asur on each other, they are mutarim b'shel olei bavel, they are both allowed to use the things that are olei bavel constructs. Okay, so that's a new type of corporate ownership, which clearly has a din of hefker, because if it is a din of shutafut, as we'll see, yes, you cannot use it. V'asurim b'shelotah ir, they cannot use the things that are municipally owned, because municipal ownership is viewed as a partnership by anybody who lives in the city. And since they are both partners and both asur each other, so now there's no way that either of them can use the cistern of Otayir or anything else of Otayir is what they are. Ve'ilein dvarim shel olei bavel. We define the type of ownership that's called olei bavel ownership. That would include the harabayit, the lishakot, the azarot. Those are all things. They're certainly not municipal ownership. They're a type of universal ownership. Ubor shel emtza haderech and the cisterns that are provided in the hojos. Ve'ilein shel Otayir. What are considered to be the municipal ownership, that would be the Rechov in the city, the Beit HaKnesset, the Beit HaMerchatz, those are all municipally defined ownerships, which are essentially Shetafut. Now, excuse me, Reb Nachman, but if according to you, the Bira, the Shetafoy, your definition of what Ole Bavel means is a type of Shetafut, it's a type of Shetafut, then why is it Mutter? But, I mean, by saying that you can be kona, so you're saying that it's not after. You're saying that it's shutafut. I could be kona for somebody else. So it's clearly not after. So if it's not after, then it shouldn't be mutter. V'atran ha-shutafim shenadruhan ha-azeh mizeh asurim likanes lechatzer. They cannot go into the chatzer. So,
joint chatzer.
Even though it belongs to both of them. So each one asurs the other one. Now, there's a little bit of a problem here, you'll notice. Because we've already introduced in the very same data that you're telling me that there's a concept of shutafut that's asur. You said there are asurim b'shalotayir. So municipally, they're asur. But shalolei bavel, they're mutter. I mean, so all of that is here. What do you have to go say? And I'll prove to you that shutafut is asur. Because it says that shutafim that asur one or the other, they can't go into the chatzer. What did you need that for? You just said that. You just said there's a difference between municipal ownership and olei bavel ownership. That's a problem that's discussed by many of the Rishonim and Achronim. And what there seems to be an indication over here, and not everybody agrees, is that there's a different level of ownership, something we call that corporate ownership. which I wouldn't be able to prove from the fact that there's a difference between municipal ownership and ole regel ownership, but which rather I would have to tell you is a true, say, a true shutafut would also be considered to be asr.
Shutafut between
two individuals, okay, or many individuals. I'm using that as a mushal for a different type of ownership that may be neither a partnership ownership nor a hefker ownership. Doesn't mean that it functions over here like there's a lot of modern truths about the nature of corporate ownership, which is nogea many, many things. You know, things like Tfilas Kalim, Geneva, Trumim, and so on. It applies in many, many areas. A lot of shilas and shivas about how corporate ownership would work. But in any event, the very fact that the Gemara sees that it's necessary to bring a raya to the definition of shutafut means that there's something about municipal ownership, or seems to imply that there's something about municipal ownership which may be different than simply shutafim, who have specific rights that includes, in cases where there's sufficient property, includes the right to demand a breakup, for instance, which is certainly not true in a municipal ownership. Okay, so there are differences. Okay, so if you're telling me that the difference between ole regel and municipal ownership is that ole regel is a different type of shutafut, so I'll show you that shutafut itself is usur in terms of neder. Right? So if that's the case, so then how do you explain the contradiction between saying I have a right to take it for somebody else that's not called chav la'achirim, but on the other hand there's not considered to be any problem of taking something which is from someone who's asr b'hanan, where b'shut tefim it is asr b'hanan. So we've got a problem over there. Answers Reb Nachman. L'rchotz babor, excuse me. If you're talking about what? You want to enter into the cistern and basically take a swim? Is that what we're talking about? En achinami. That's the same as entering the chotzer. I'm agreeing with you. They're both asr b'chotzer. In this case, they're both asr in the bor. But hachav ma'askinan, we're not talking about going and taking a bath in the bor, taking a swim in the bor. Now, are we? When we said a bor shel emtsa derech mutarim, which was the language we said before, all that they were matir is taking water out from it because of that shutafut. But that could very well be a function of breira. To say that I'm walking into the bor and at the moment that I'm in it, this is the piece that's mine. That's ridiculous. But how is that this is the piece that's mine? But to say that if I removed water from the bor, we now see that this was the water that was meant to be yours, because indeed it's going to be entering your oral orifice and disappearing, and that this was, if you hold a breira, the part of the water that was meant to be yours all along, like any other normal chalukah of shutafim. So then we can rely on breira for that. Maybe that's the point. So Reb Nachman would tell you, look, if it's something that it makes sense to apply breira to, then there'd be no problem of asering ba'ana'a. All that we said over here is that it's shutafut, from which once you take it, it now is defined as yours. Fine. Of course, it's only fine if Reb Nachman holds a breira. If Reb Nachman doesn't hold a breira, it's not fine at all, because then he can't find any reason to distinguish between the dinim of the isra of the neder or the dinim of your rights to make a kinyan for somebody else. And if that naturally turns out to be the problem, ask the Gemara of a sovereign Nachman Yesh Breira. Does indeed Reb Nachman hold that there is breira, so that the shutafut can now be defined ex post facto as having been a retroactive ownership on the particular part that ends up becoming yours now after the partnership is broken, or at least broken for this particular glass of water? Vahatnan, where is the classic case that we've had so many times of the determination of the nature of the breira on shutafut? Oho. The classic case is the splitting up of an estate. Correct? We've spoken about this many times. So you have two brothers now, inherit an estate. So the Brera issue is going to define the nature of that Yerusha. If we hold that Brera works, then what I've done is I say, okay, since this is the part of the estate that ended up being mine, it was destiny. That's what Brera is saying. If it's destiny, when Yovel comes along, I say, I didn't buy this from you. It was always mine. Came from dad to me. On the other hand, if we view it as, look, everybody owns the whole thing. Now we're going to split it. How does splitting work? I sell you my piece in exchange for you giving me your piece. So then obviously we're just buyers. We're just a fancy name for buyers because we're heirs. But heirs that split, we're buying from one another. Then in Yovel, it would go back. That was the issue we had before. How about during the period in which something is unsplit? So now the question once again would be, you have Achim that now went ahead and retained the joint ownership on the estate. So the two issues that are going to be very, very dependent on how we define that ownership, is it an estate ownership or is it an individual ownership, is going to be the din of the kalabon. The kalabon is the extra amount that you pay when two people get together and give a shekel for the machzis ha-shekel. So even though there should be no charge for changing that shekel into two, because you're giving them here the shekel, but nonetheless, we maintain the standard price of the machzis ha-shekel. You always give that little bit of extra for the change. So even though you're very smart, you got together with somebody, you still are going to have to pay what you would normally pay for the exchange rate between the shekel and the machzis ha-shekel. There's always a bank charge. You think it's new. There's always a bank charge for doing anything. So the Rishum HaPu'ula basically ended up costing you X. And you asked them, what did it cost? What do you mean? I mean, if you're going to exchange it, it's certainly going to cost. But I didn't exchange it. No, look, it's a line-by-line charge. However, the din is that a father who gives her his children doesn't pay a kalabon. If the two brothers retain the estate, they can continue now having the estate pay for them. And then they don't pay a kalabon. But then that would mean that they're not called shutafim, right? It means that basically they're working as a single estate. But then that would have implications for the dinim of Maaser Behema. Because in terms of Maaser Behema, a shutafut, a partnership, doesn't pay Maaser Behema. But an estate does pay Maaser Behema. So now it's going to be one of these things that the accountants are going to look at. Okay, what's going to cost you more? do you want to be shutafim or do you want to be an estate? Okay, because you can end up, if you're going to be one, then you're going to have to pay for the other. So therefore, in the famous definition of the Mishnah, achim ha-shutafim, brothers that remain partners in the estate, look, one way or the other, if they're going to be chayav now, in other words, if they are shutafim in it, so that means we made a split, but we're going to live together and continue. The ranch continues to function as a ranch, but I own this and you own that. Well, then they're shutafim. They don't give maaser behema. But then, of course, they're like any other shutafim, they will give a kalabon. If they haven't split, they won't give the kalabon because they're acting as a joint estate. But in that case, there will be a chayiv of maaser behema because they're not shutafim yet. Now, Rav Anan came to explain that loshana, when we say that they were chaylik in their shutafim, that's loshana l'shechalku gdiim k'neged tla'im, u'tla'im k'neged gdiim. That's only if they split unevenly, meaning that one person, let's say, handles the sheep and the other person handles the cattle, or even the older and the younger. But if chalku gdiim k'neged gdiim, u'tla'im k'neged tla'im, if, however, they split down the middle, so everybody gets the same type of thing, in that case, you can apply Brera. Because, I mean, there's no reason to say that I was destined to take the car, Well, you were destined to take the tractor. That already is not, I mean, that's not destiny. Obviously, somebody had to make a choice. But if you're talking about we all ended up with half the ranch, okay, so then ending up with half the ranch is a Yerusha. The question whether arbitrarily is this half or that half, that's destiny. So in that case, as Rav Hanan, then we would say, Zel Omer Zel Chelko HaMagil Mishari Shana Lekach. What is mine was destined to be mine. Therefore, I'm not going to pay that kalava because we're still in the estate. And that's acceptable. But unfortunately, Reb Nachman is the one who says, Afilu Chalku G'diim K'neged G'diim K'leim K'neged Laim Ein Omer Zel Chelko HaMagil Mishari Shana Lekach. He cannot claim destiny. Obviously, because Reb Nachman doesn't hold a brera. How all of a sudden did he reverse things the way you're learning the machlokas? We asked you, what are they arguing, right? So you said the machlokas is, that's a question of the hefker. Is it a din of hefker? Is it a din of shetafut? So okay, it worked out very nicely, except that Rava's question to Reb Nachman was only answerable in one way, which was brera. And that's the difference between going into a chotzer, which is also for shutafim, and drawing water from a bor, which would become mutter for shutafim, even if the rasser ba'na zemizeh, or in this case, would become the destiny of what was meant to be yours, and therefore your tchum, and so on. Or if you're doing it for somebody else, it's his. But that doesn't work anymore, because Reb Nachman doesn't hold a brayer. Therefore, we're going to have to rethink the whole machlokas. Comes along the Gemara and says, all right, Ella, and whenever there's an Ella, it means, let's get back to the beginning and rethink this. Ella de kuliyam abir def kerehi. There is no escaping the question of it's being a, it's definitely has to work through hefker. It can't work through shutafut, or else there's no way to explain Reb Nachman Shita in light of the Mishnah in the Nedarim. Because there's no way to explain if Ole Babel is indeed a shutafut, then why does it remain mut to someone who's aser ba'ana on you? All right, so it's got to be, therefore, now what we're talking about over here is that the bor here is hefker. But hacha, the magbia mitzialacha veroka miflige. What we're talking about over here is what the din is when somebody would pick up a mitzia having in mind the kinyan of another person. Now, we're all agreed, as we saw in Bava Metzia, that that doesn't work, because it's being chav l'achrim. Fine. But does it work for you? That's the question. It may not work for the other guy. So I pick it up, and of course, this is the din in Bava Metzia, I pick it up. The guy says, oh, looky, looky, I see a wallet. Could you pick that up for me? And you go in here and pick it up. So, well, give it to me. No, actually, I think I like it. So, I mean, over here, you went ahead, you took the water. You're not... So you pick up the water. The other guy wasn't Kona. Were you Kona? That's the question. So if you were Kona, then it doesn't help for you to give it to another guy afterwards because it has a din of Karagli Amimale, and you were the Mamale. If, however, your only intent was to pick it up for the other guy and there is no Kenyan that's personal, I'm not the Mamale. So only the person who ends up getting it would be the mamala. That's the question. So achav b'magbiyam mitziyala chaviro komiflegin. Mar savar not kana chaviro. That for sure not. But mar savar kana. Mar savar lo kana. So one man the other holds that even though the other the chaviro isn't kana, he who picks it up would be kana. And therefore, in this case, that means that you are the one that becomes the ragle. You're the ragle mamala.
He who picks it up.
You picks it up.
But Olei Bavel, don't they get it? They must have arrived before Yom Tov. They can't arrive on Yom Tov. So when they're in the city, they're all.
What makes you say that?
I mean, why should Olei Bavel have a different tchum than the people live in the city?
Who says they do?
Because if I fill up water for whether he comes from Beit Vagan or whether he comes from Bavel, why shouldn't they have the same?
Because I may know a location that I can teleport to that you don't know about. If you remember back in Erevin, you can create an Erev through teleportation. But don't dare teleport to a place you don't know. You may end up in the middle of a star somewhere. I mean, that's dangerous.
If you teleport, does it have to be within 2,000 miles?
Of course. You have to be able to get there theoretically if you'd wanted to get there. But the difference is, I, who am well familiar with the tree at the corner of Maple and Oak, I can actually have my Mokum Shvita at Maple and Oak. The other people are coming along, they have their Mokum Shvita over here. So now the question is, does it follow me with my Eruv, my mental Eruv, or does it follow the person who picked it up?
Let's go on your brother, Nachman here. Does it change the idea in the Metzia that you can't pick up a Hefker item as a Shaliach?
All are agreed to that. All are agreed that you can't do it.
So the end result, the person you give it to is going to get it anyhow.
Yes, but the question is, legally speaking, was it first mine? If it was first mine, boy, does that make a difference in terms of taxation. Yes, it's right. There's actually a multi-million dollar business now, which is creating the types of property exchanges that are not considered to belong to you for the 2 seconds of the exchange, which then the government gets a right to take the tax on the actual transfer. Mamish multi-million. A lot of Jews are half a liquid's involved in this. Lawyers involved in it. But no, it's a very interesting. There's a loophole where you could create this construct of ownership in which it wasn't the other person's, and therefore there was no problem in the transfer, and they're both end up being potter from taxes on the transfer, which it makes all kinds of fantastic difference. I mean, a lot of people are making very good money on this. But anyway, so over here, that's basically the question. Over here, it's not as serious as the multi-million dollar liquid issues are. But it defines the question of whether it's your tum or not.
Was that the stock market?
No, property exchanges, where you would end up needing to pay a tax on the actual exchange, on a barter.
And to whom would it belong in that?
That's the whole trick, is to create a nobody. But listen, at this point, Beitar is basically surviving on this.
Beitar?
Yeah, the city of Beitar. The women in Beitar are working. Hagachelet kiraglei ha-ba'alin v'shal hevet b'chol makom. Another difference, Hagachelet shal hegvish mo'alim bo, shal hevet, lo ne'anim, but lo mo'alim. Ha-motzi gachelet v'shut ha-rabim chayav, shal hevet b'tur. Tana Rabbanu Chamisha Dvarim Nemru B'Gachelet. Gachelet Keragli HaBa'alim Shalev V'Kol Makom. Gachelet Shalekdesh Mo'alim Ba Shalevet Lo Ne'anim V'Lo Mo'alim. Gachelet Shalavadah Zerah Sera Shalevet Muteret. Amotzi Gachelet Roshut HaRabim Chayav Bet Shalevet Patur. En Amudar HaRamicha V'Ero Eser B'Gachelto U'Mutar B'Shalavto. Maishna Shalevet Avodah Zerah D'Sharia. Maishna De'Egesh De'Asira. Avodah zarah de meiso bedili inchi mina lo gazruba rabbanan. Hegdesh de lo mois vilo bedili inchi mina gazruba rabbanan. Amotzi gachelot rishot rabim. Chayav v'shalevet patur. Aiva tanya amotzi shalevet roshu chayav. Om Rav Sheshi, that's talking about gonshotziu b'kise. So then typically mishum kise. But alet le shiura. The tzana amotzi eitzim kidei levasher b'itza kalav. And a kise doesn't have enough financial content. A biomar kagon deshaife mona mashcha va'atle beinura, in which case the kli is only a matrix for an invisible fuel. So typically mishum mona b'chaspa, typically mishum chaspa b'rolet leshiura. The tzlan cheres k'dei mitain bein patzim l'chavero divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Elohad tzlan amotzi shalevet patur eichi mashkachat la kagon da'adi adui elurishet rabim. Borsha Yachid Kiraglea Yachid Vishalan Sheota Ir Kiraglean Sheota Ir Vishalole Bavel Kiraglea Mimale Romile Rabbul Rabachman. It's not Borsha Yachid Kiraglea Yachid. How's it possible? Ramino Neorota Mushim, Umayanota Novim, Harein Kiragle Koladan, Omar Rabba Achba Mayaskinan, Bemechunasim, Vitmanan, Amrakia Baravan, Amashmuel, Bemechunasim, Shalole Bavel Kiraglea Mimale, Itma. How about if you were Mamale with the intent and giving over Natan Lachavero? Rav Nachman Amar Keragle Mishnit Malulo. Rav Sheshet Amar Keragle Amimale. So my kamiflege on the nature of how Olei Bavel property works. Marsav abir de hefkerahu, umarsav abir de shutafihu. Therefore, says Reb Nachman, you can be kona for the other guy. Eitvei rava le Reb Nachman, hareini alecha cheirem amudar asur, harei hatala cheirem anodar asur, harei alecha vehatala shneim asurim zeh. Nonetheless, the mutarim b'shalolei bavel, v'asurim b'shalotah ir. Eloin dvarim shalolei bavel, harabayet, l'shakot, azarot, bor shalom tzaderech, eloin shalotah ir, harachov, beit hakneset, beit hamerchatz. Now, I amrit, bira de shutfihu, amai mutar, v'adzan ha-shutafim, shenadru ana'a zemize, asurim l'kadeis v'chatzer, l'lchotz b'bor, ochinami, I agree. Hachmeskin l'malot. And there I say, Brera, mar mididei kamamale, umar mididei kamamale. What? Sober of Nachman, yesh Brera, v'yotnan, ha'achina shutafim kishachayavim bekalabon peturim mimaser beima, ukishachayavim bemaser beima peturim mina kalabon, v'yom revanan, lo shonar lashokoku gdiim keneget tlaim, utlaim keneget gdiim. Then you say Brera. So each one says, Zel Chelko Amagio Mishar Rishon Alekach. Whereas Reb Nachman says, even Chelko Gdeim Keneged Gdeim, Utloim Keneged Loim, you can never say, Zel Chelko Amagio Mishar Rishon Alekach. And therefore, apparently we don't hold the Brera. Ela de Kuleyama Biradev Kerehi. The Machlokis over here. Where the chaver was not kone. Mar Savar, the one who picked it up, the nonetheless, is there kone for himself. Umar Savar, lo kana for himself either.